Well, it is so nice to be back here at Highfields tonight, and I know Christmas is firmly in the rearview mirror, but I'm just going to give you a little insight into the Christmas that I had. I can't believe I'm about to do this. This is a bit embarrassing. But this is everything fun or nice that I ate over Christmas. Good grief. So, two turkey dinners with all the trimmings, three turkey and stuffing sandwiches, one turkey curry, one breakfast bap at Andrew Wright's house, one Boxing Day fry, eight coffees with friends and family, and obviously you have cake when you have coffee. I'm going to round up and say one box of Quality Streets, two chocolate brownies, three Bad Boy burritos, one Chinese with my brothers, one chocolate caramel square, one bacon and brie sandwich, one steak dinner, and a stick of celery because you got to eat your vegetables, don't you? Well, actions don't just come out of the blue, do they? It's always built upon some sort of logic or thought process. And in my mind, over Christmas, if I saw a nice bit of food, I thought to myself, my logic was, it's Christmas, so I'm going to enjoy myself. And what does that have to do with Romans 12, you're probably thinking? Well, as believers, all of our actions are to be rooted in something as well. We're to remember what God has done and live in light of it. So whenever you look down at Romans 12, we're just looking at the very first little part of it where Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So Paul writes to his friends, Christians who live in Rome, and in 11 chapters, he has unpacked for them why all people need the gospel of Jesus. Two, the benefits that we receive when we accept the gospel. And three, the gospel and the Jewish nation. And after he's just gone on this mega stop tour of all these things that have happened in the Bible, he then says, therefore, he commands the believers and urges them to live their lives in light of what God has done in the past. And we know this because whenever Paul says, therefore, he then states explicitly, in view of God's mercy. So Paul says to these believers in Rome, remember what God has done for you. Christians at Highfields tonight, remember what God has done for you. Because tonight, whenever you think of my mortifying long list of foods, the reason I ate those over Christmas was because, trust me on this, it brought me delight to eat them. It brought me absolute joy. But just stop and think, the seminars that you were in tonight, what is your motivation to be a better parent, a better evangelist, a better carer for others, a better environmentalist, vegan, who knows? To be a better believer, it is to be motivated by joy and delight that you have in the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you. It shouldn't be motivated by some sort of pressure to be a good Christian. So, for example, in John Reeves' seminar, if at the end of the 4 weeks he said, hope you've enjoyed this time together, just to say, in about 6 weeks, we'll be checking in with you, and if you haven't brought 8 people to know Jesus, or 8 people to Highfields, you're not allowed back in here. Get out. We don't want you. Wouldn't that, well, maybe you can imagine John saying that, who knows? But wouldn't that be an awful motivation? Fear. That's no motivation at all. How often do we live our Christian lives like this? Well, Paul here says, therefore, the thing that will motivate you, Christians in Highfields, to live in this way is to remember God's mercy. And mercy means compassionate kindness to an enemy. So stop and remember that you were, while you're still a sinner, still an enemy of God, Christ died for you, you personally. What a great mercy that is. Let's just quickly plant that into our real lives, into a couple of situations. So for the parents out there, your child is on your last nerve. They've been an absolute mess of the house, and they've covered themselves in that mess as well. There's no patience left in you. In that moment, dear friend, remember God's mercies. How God stepped down into the filth of your sin and washed you, cleansed you, and clothed you in the clean garments of Christ. How he will sustain you in everything that life and possibly your child will throw at you. Show them the love that they don't deserve, like God showed you. Another example, whenever a co-worker or a classmate laughs at your belief in God, rejects your faith, says that it's a waste of time, and says no to another invite to a guest event, and you're feeling just lower than a snake's belly, just rubbish, in that moment, remember God's mercies. How you were once a rebel, an enemy, and a hater of God, deserving of wrath. Stop. Pray. Thank God for his mercy that he has reconciled you by the glorious blood of Jesus. And ask for that mercy for your co-worker, remembering that nothing is impossible with God, because you're living proof of that. One last example. You just feel so alone. Even in a group, even in church, you miss him. You miss her. You wish that they were still here with you. You didn't know it was physically possible to hurt like this. You have never felt so alone or so forsaken in all your life. In that moment, remember God's mercies. Remember the Lord Jesus on that cross, utterly forsaken by the Father he had known for all eternity. Remember the reason he went there. He went there for you, to bring a lost sheep home, to adopt his child, his beloved. Remember his mercies. Remember that he is coming soon. And remember that he has promised to be with you always, even to the end of the age, even when you don't feel like it. Text one of your blood-bought brothers and sisters. Ask for a meet-up. Ask for them to pray for you. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Highfields, in view of God's mercies, remember the amazing grace that has saved you, that will keep you, and that will lead you home to glory. And live your lives with absolute assurance that he will use you in whatever situation you find yourself this week. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us. Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you that though they are not deserved, that you pour them out upon us abundantly. Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that you came to save a wretch like me.